Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, January 6, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And yes, it took me a second, the 25. Mm. It did. It's take a little getting used to.
Write that down.
We are spending the entire hour with our good friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department with us. We have Sheriff Sean Becker here with us today. Sean, always good to see you.
Great to see you, too. Thanks for having us.
You brought a new friend. We have Lieutenant Nate Dean with us as well. Nate, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We want to start off thanking our great friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here as well to record this and put it on their YouTube page. Do yourself a favor, get to YouTube, type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and subscribe to the great work they are doing. We appreciate the gang over there. Guys, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah.
Sean, I know that we usually have a couple of places we like to start. Where would you like to begin today?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes. Happy New Year.
2025. Time just flies. You know, go back 20 years ago, I didn't think I'd like be here. You know, it's weird to say 2025, but hey, we're here. As far as the holidays, pretty uneventful for us, which is a great thing. We were talking this morning about, you know, just OWI arrests. You know, did we have any OWI arrests on New Year's Eve? And we did not. So it tells me that I believe people are being smarter. You know, looking out for the other resources that, you know, if you're going to go out and have a good time, you know, get somebody that can drive you home. I know there's Ubers or I don't know if Uber is pretty popular around here, but I know in Stevens Point it is. But just, you know, I really feel that it's a compliment to the people that do go out on that evening and take care of themselves and others. And it was an uneventful night, which is great.
Yeah, it's certainly not asking you to comb through your whole career every New Year's Eve or anything like that, but I don't remember many like that. And I do think that that's pretty noteworthy. I'm glad you started off here and everything, because I really think that not only, you know, certainly it's hard to compliment people for doing what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Like, that feels a little weird and everything to be that, you know, hey, nice job doing what you're supposed to do here. But at the same time, we do know our area. We know our culture here in Wisconsin and some of these things. To be making this progress should be noted. We don't get anywhere without, you know, noting the baby steps that get us to these places. That is noteworthy.
No, I really do. I feel the same way, you know, with people that are, like I said, if they're going out and having a good time, they're making the arrangements to make sure that they get home safe. And that keeps everybody else safe, including, you know, our deputies that are working, you know, that shift, you know, the night shift on, or even on New Year's Day, or whatever it might be, that people are paying attention.
Hope you guys had a good holiday as well throughout the holidays and everything, and a good New Year's. We're kicking off 2025. We got the city got our present. We got a new jail. We opened that thing up already. That president is sitting there, and it is waiting for us to be able to. How did that go? Because we haven't talked since the first. I almost forgot about this. I had it in my notes and everything. Nice work. Nice work with the ribbon cutting celebration and everything up there. I saw, thanks to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, because I was not able to be there, I got to see the video of that. You did a really good job.
Well, thank you.
I do want to shout out Lance as well, who didn't seem like he was supposed to be talking, but got up there and did a nice job, as he does.
Funny story, Lance tried to defer to somebody else at the department, you know, and we thought of immediately Ted Ashbeck, our jail captain, who's been extremely instrumental with, you know, the whole process, you know, and Ted said, no, I don't want to do it. we weren't going to make them, but, you know, it was kind of, hey, Lance, I will speak, but, you know, let's let the people that, you know, are very, you know, involved with the project. And, you know, between Ted and then Ruben Van Tassel, our maintenance supervisor, just, they crushed it, this whole project, just making sure that what we wanted, what we needed, you know, in this, you know, $92 million project, what was taken care of. And they both did just a phenomenal job. But no, that was really a surreal moment. You know, our honor guard that Nate's part of came in and started out the ceremony by posting the colors, and that went over very well. You could just tell with, you had a packed house of people. And that just started things off. And then, you know, then you have Laura Valenstein. Again, I just love to talk about her and the jail ad hoc committee. You know, it just gives us time to reminisce about the start point, you know, of, you know, the discussions on the need. and then to get to here where we're just about ready to occupy it. And it's hard sometimes not to get emotional just because of what it took. And the whole theme was teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it was all about. It wasn't about me. It wasn't, you know, all about our department either. It was about the community and the need and, you know, seeing Laura and our county board members, you know, look at the need. They weren't convinced, and Laura will tell you that, you know, that, hey, after, you know, a presentation about the need from, you know, our architect from Venture, not that they did a bad job in their presentation, it was just, you know, I don't know if we really need it. And then with Lance putting together that committee of people that really weren't very supportive, mm-hmm. then it just grew. And the work that all of our county board, you know, did through this whole process, you know, they did their job. They went out in the community. They talked about what they're seeing and explained the whys. And that's what you expect out of your elected officials. And then another thing is, you know, it didn't matter what side of the aisle they're on.
Yeah.
They didn't dig in and say, no, because I'm this or that. They looked at what the needs were. And that's something that I love to brag about. And just to have that small part of it and to watch it, just to say, hey, we'll answer the questions. You know, we know that we need it. And we've had for a long time. And going back to Ted, you know, about 6+ years ago when we started that conversation, and he educated me because my background is not corrections, you know. And so not that I didn't know much about it, yeah. but, you know, he explained, you know, all these reasons why, you know, and we were just waiting for that change in our department, and then it just built from there. And so for, you know, for me being that small part of it, mm-hmm. it was really quite an honor just to watch it all happen. And, you know, doing all the GL tours, we've done a lot of them.
Yeah, I imagine.
Which I'm not complaining about. It's just, like I said, it gives me that opportunity to brag about the people that made it happen, and even to see the support. It's just huge, you know, going through the ribbon cutting ceremony, and a huge thank you to the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce to be there and set it up, but to see how many people were there.
I think one of the things that happens, and this is just life and how it works and everything, but we get caught up in the moment at times, and we get caught up in hyperbole at sometimes in those things. But this is one of those situations, young, old, no matter who I talk to in the community, the more people than not understand that there was a time, and not that long ago, where this seemed very far-fetched.
Yeah.
That this seemed like a very far-fetched idea and was not going to get up the flagpole.
Yeah.
And here we are, where it's not only, you know, happened, we're getting closer and closer to it opening up.
Right. No, it's a surreal moment. Last week we did a tour for some representatives of Portage County because they're in the same position. And they've kind of stalled a bit, but that was fun to bring them through, answer a lot of questions. Ted and I, you know, answered a lot of things for them and then kind of brag. Like, hey, look at what we did and then what we accomplished. And I know that they have the land purchased and they're just kind of stalled and they need to get to talk more people, kind of follow what we did. You know, I think they'll get there. You know, the unfortunate thing for them is the longer you put it off, the more you're going to pay. And it's going to cost your taxpayers even more money. So the need's there. They justified it for very, very similar reasons why we did. And they're just in a position that I hope that they move forward with it because the community deserves it. And so does, you know, not just the law enforcement community, but everybody does.
And it's something we've touched on too, and now we're in the process of people getting familiar, you know, people getting familiar with the jail, getting more used to it, and getting some training in there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the next phase that we're really going through. It's it's putting together the training program for the new facility. It's completely different than what we have right now. And we had our own open house for our staff, like the week before the ribbon cutting ceremony. And I was extremely proud to, I had no idea how many people were coming. We had an idea, you know, kind of an estimate, but boy, I think we had over 200 people because I said, you know what, hey, bring, you know, your family, bring your friends that want to see this and you can have free reign of the building. And I think a few people got lost here and there, but it was, you know, I thought a really good moment for our department to see what, you know, what we're going to get very shortly. And I think it was eye-opening, especially for some of our corrections officers that hadn't had the opportunity to walk through yet and show people what we're going to be dealing with. So that'll be the next phase. And Ted's doing a nice job of putting that together. You know, it'll probably take at least once, here are the keys. Sam's group has been awesome to work with. They're a project manager, and once they turn the keys over to us, then that training process will start, and that'll probably happen within the next couple weeks. And we're probably estimating, you know, a good month at least to make sure that our staff is going to be, you know, comfortable with running the facility. I can't wait until we don't have to house inmates in WPAC anymore, but you know what? We'll be patient, and once we're ready to roll, we'll do that. But
you know, it's something that I know that maybe people out there, and hey, I hope you don't have to deal with this, but we've talked about so many of the positives and the reasons for this and the how much this helps. Over the weekend, I spent a lot of time with my dad, and we got talking about the new jail a little bit, along with a million other things. Sure. But this came up, and one of the things he brought was the inmates being housed in other areas. And it should never be forgotten, and I know it's not with you guys or anything, but I think overall in society, sometimes we forget the purpose of prison, of jail, of these things. And it is to, more than times than not, rehabilitation and to get people back into society. And how we stop the revolving door are the oldest conversation you and I have been having. And one thing my father noted was the idea of an inmate doing so much better when they have a support system.
Yeah.
And when they are able to reach that support system, mm-hmm. whether it is having them stopping by and seeing them or anything like that on visit times or something like that. Now, that's a lot harder to do when an inmate from here is in WPAC.
Right.
And so certainly the overall purpose of this, and I'm not even arguing with, is tax dollars and saving mm-hmm. our community that and the impact on our economy. But as a side story here, I will say one of the positives of this will probably be that. It's almost hard not. I don't have numbers for you or anything like that I can, but I will put my name on this that I think that is going to be a positive that'll be coming from this too, of inmates who are doing they're having accountability and they're doing what they should be doing and everything and paying for their crimes, while also understanding, hey, their loved ones can actually come and see them now and show them encouragement. And, hey, there's another day. There's tomorrow. You can get out of here. You can rehabilitate and all those things. That encouragement, you can't put a price on that.
No, you can't.
So, something like that, there's so many other things that are going to be coming up. And this is just one little thing. Right. There's going to be other stuff that comes up, I think, over the years of why, wow, man, I'm glad we have this new jail that are going to remind us of that.
No, and that's a great point that you're making, those 75 people that are housed over in WPAC. And they've been a great partner. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Did they take advantage of a situation? No, they had a facility that was, you know, there to house other people's inmates. And we're not the only, sheriff's department that houses people over there. Portage County does as well. And, but, you know, they had the facility to house them, and then there's a cost associated with that. And do the inmates over there that are from Wood County get all the services that we provide within our facility? No. But that's not a knock on WPAC. I mean, they do have things there that are available to help people through while they're doing their time. You bring up a really good point on visitation. You know, one thing with technology, and that's another thing that this facility, you know, that we invested in, what's available and what we can will fit for us is visitation and how we do visitation. COVID changed some things, you know, a couple of things, you know, right off the top of my head, you know, the work release program, the Huber program, you know, that all had to stop during COVID. And then you had to find out different ways of how you can, you know, accommodate people that do qualify for a work release program. And fortunately, you know, we've had electronic monitoring going on for quite some time. And so the shift was, okay, we don't want people coming in and out of the facility. We want to limit that as much as we can. And already having the electronic monitoring program, the cost is associated is essentially the same. So what we did is just expanded our electronic monitoring program and really eliminated the work release program of people coming to and from the jail. All right, we've got you on ankle bracelet program. So that was a big change that we're continuing to do. And then the other thing is visitation. You know, obviously when COVID was going on, we were, you know, there were not any visits going on. And that is hard on an inmate because you do still want to connect with the outside. And what's evolved with technology is video visitation. And that's something that was a big investment with this facility where inmates can do a visit almost any time. You know, not you know, way in the early morning hours. Sure, but, you know, while they're, you know, in the common area of their cell block, their kiosks where you can, you know, call and do a video visit with somebody they might be at home. Or if somebody wants to come and visit an inmate, they can do it for free at the Sheriff's Department where we have visitation booths, but it's all by video. So that's been a change that all, you know, all jails are going through in prisons, that, you know, the visitation can really be done right from the cell block. We also have tablets that the inmates can get if they qualify for it, where you can do it right from your tablet as well. But I do tell people there is a cost associated with that, and you have to look at it. It's very similar to like doing a collect call, you know, phone call. Well, there's a cost associated with that as well. Unless people come to the facility, then it's free. You can do the video visit from the facility. But the couple things that you know, we had a look at, you know, when we were going through the building phase of the project of, you know, technology, and that's been a huge investment for, you know, for this new facility.
As the building's opening up and stuff, we'll be talking more and more about it, but very encouraging for our community. And again, nice job with the presentation, the opening, the ribbon cutting, all of that. It was good work.
Like I said, surreal moment. Very proud of our county board and all the people that had a part of it.
We're speaking with Sheriff Sean Becker right now, and Sean also brought in Lieutenant Nate Dean with us. And Nate, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely.
Sean, why'd you bring Nate out of here other than for me to make him uncomfortable and put him on the spot or anything like that?
Well, you know, I saw him in his office this morning. I'm like, so the idea came up, and I didn't force him here, but I'm like, hey, you want to go on the radio show with me today? And he didn't say no. And I don't think he felt he could have said no, because
here's a note for you on radio days. I guess you got to hide.
That's a good idea. Note down what those days are. Right.
Oh, I just thought it was a good opportunity. Nate's been with us for several years now and's done an awesome job with a lot of the programs that he oversees with the department. He finally got the day shift last year. He'd been working nights for a while. He's younger. We hired you. I wrote down 2013, and I remember his interview. Nate's not from the Wood County area. I think he's a lot, did kind of like what a lot of us did when we started our careers off. We just threw applications anywhere and everywhere, and where somebody gave us the opportunity, that's where we started our career. He's from Eau Claire and had an awesome interview. And I'm not just saying that, okay? But he really set himself above the other candidates that some were, you know, working with us part-time or whatnot. And he got the opportunity, and he took it. And he decided to stay here, and very proud of him for that, because I know that that's not easy, because I know what I did. You know, I worked down at the Sauk Prairie Police Department for a couple of years to get my experience, because it was so competitive back then to get into law enforcement, especially in central Wisconsin, and then came back and got very lucky that Wood County hired me. And so that fear was with Nate when he got hired here. Do we take a chance on him? He did an awesome job, had a great background. And I'm like, I bet she's going to want to go back to Eau Claire. And, you know, he seriously thought about it. And I have no problem with that, because that's what a lot of people do. And, you know, hey, it worked out for us that he decided to stay. And he's been promoted a couple times, and he's very well respected at our department. And he's a great leader. He's proud of him to be part of our admin team.
Without prying too much, Nate, and again, thanks for being here. I appreciate the time and the service in our community and everything. What was it about the area that made you want to stay?
Yeah, you know, initially, like Sheriff Becker had said, you know, in 2013, very competitive in processes to get into law enforcement. We've seen a change in that now where applications are down, and it's a little bit different. But back then it was very competitive and openings were few and far between. And through college and an internship program with the Eau Claire County Sheriff's Department, that's where I knew that I wanted to work for a sheriff's department. And then let's pull up the internet and see what are available. And Wood County happened to be a sheriff's department that was hiring at the time. And really just working and getting to, one, get into the department. And then two, you start learning the department and getting familiar with the area, getting familiar with the department. It becomes a second home. And this area grew on me quick and became my second home. Like Sheriff Becker had said, I'm from Eau Claire. But I mean, we really work in a great area right here in central Wisconsin, from the north end of our county to the south end of our county. It has a lot to offer. really just saw as a great opportunity to stay here. I ended up meeting my wife, who's from Marshfield. So that helped.
That's why he's here.
There we go. There we
that,
go.
That helped lock things down and keep me here in the area as well. But it's been a great department to work for and a great area to work for.
You know, and this is a familiar story. Sean has brought in the number of people and everything, and every once in a while there is somebody who is not from our area, but when they become a transplant, like myself mm-hmm. and my family and like some others and everything, where we're not maybe from here, but we get here, and there's something about this area that makes you want to stick around, makes you want to plant roots, and just really build from here. Whether you stay here for a long time or not, it stays with you, this yeah. area. There's something to that, I think, and something that locals can take a lot of pride in, I would think, in those things.
Absolutely.
We got to go to break here in just about a minute. So before that, though, I do want to ask, what got you into law enforcement in general? What got you to want to dedicate your life, your career to this?
Ultimately started at a young age, and it started with just community engagement in Eau Claire. The local police department, sheriff's department, state patrol, just community outreach events. Back then in our elementary school, the earliest memory of me wanting to be in law enforcement was through the DARE program. And the DARE program coming into our elementary school. And that used to be a very prevalent program. It's not something you see a lot anymore. But that is probably my earliest memory of wanting to be, hey, that's what I want to do. And from then, it stuck with me. And when I had the opportunity to do my first ride-along with the Eau Claire Police Department, that really got me hooked, you know, to be able to see the job in person, experience it firsthand. And from there, it was just a wild ride, you know, ever since. Ride-alongs with multiple agencies, doing anything and everything I can to just experience the job, get experience. And in college, I worked for the Eau Claire Police Department in a community service role, which really helped both in college and then for that application process after to just gain some experience in law enforcement without having that full-time job yet.
It's not surprising, yet it gets me every time how many people that I ask that question in law enforcement, and it's, you know, at a young age, mm-hmm. something hit them, and they wanted to follow this path, follow this career. It really speaks to it, especially as it's one thing to, when you're a kid, want to do this, but as you get older and you learn more and more about that job, right. and your focus doesn't change. This is still what you want, even with all of that. I think that that's very noteworthy, and mm-hmm. and it speaks highly of the job, and as you touched on a little bit here, too. As applications are down, one of the things that I try to do with this segment is reminding people that, especially our younger listeners out there, this mm-hmm. is an incredibly rewarding career, and it's not a job. And there's so many people nowadays that are looking for careers, not jobs.
Right.
This is a career, and this is one of the more rewarding things you can do with your life, let alone your work life.
Absolutely. I mean, it has its ups and downs, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but there are so many rewarding things in this career. And those community events that I remember as a kid and those outreach that I had from law enforcement back home sticks with me to this day. And that's really what drives me to continue to do those community outreach events, continue to expand our footprint as, you know, as the Sheriff's Department mm-hmm. in our community and making sure that we're being involved as much as we can.
We'll talk more with you, sir. We'll talk more with Sheriff Becker as well in a moment when we come back with more Midday Magazine here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.